In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're looking at the 23rd chapter of Luke, the 6th verse. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether Jesus was a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, so Pilate is going to send Jesus to Herod. He sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. Well, what were they doing? There was the Passover. So they were all at the Passover in Jerusalem. They're celebrating the Passover, that the angel of the Lord passed over the houses of the Israelites because there was blood on the doorpost. Yes, but we know that blood is the blood of Jesus that saves us. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see Jesus for a long time because he had heard many things about Jesus. And he hoped to have seen some miracle done by Jesus. I'm telling you, Jesus isn't going to do miracles in front of Herod. This is not a circus, you know. Jesus went to seek and save that which was lost. And he does miracles to the lost. He does miracles to the lost. And I tell you, even though Herod was lost, he wants a circus act. Come on, perform some miracle. Then he questioned Jesus in many words, but Jesus answered nothing. Jesus didn't say a word. Why? Because at this point, Jesus is drawing into himself the sins of the world. It started in the agony in the garden. So Jesus doesn't say a word. And the chief priests and scribes stood vehemently, and they accused Jesus. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked Jesus, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. So he's going back to Pilate. And that same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before that they were at enmity between themselves. So Pilate and Herod became friends because of Jesus. And that's something. Now Jesus is going back to Pilate. Pilate many times says, "I find no guilt in this person. I find no guilt in this person." That's not true of us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I tell you, Jesus Christ saved us from our sins by his death upon the cross, by his shedding his blood. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, "You have brought this man to me as one that perverts the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, and I have found no fault in this man, touching those things where you accuse him." In other words, he's innocent. There's nothing that I find in Jesus. He hasn't done it anything. He hasn't perverted anything. "No, nor yet Herod, for I sent him to Herod, and nothing worthy of death is done unto Jesus. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast of the Passover." Now we know what the crowd is going to say. "We want Barabbas. We want Barabbas." Let me tell you this today. Barabbas was a murderer, and Jesus died in his place. But can I tell you, I am Barabbas, and you are Barabbas, that Jesus died in our place. Do you know that today? That is our salvation. You are Barabbas. and I am Barabbas, because we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But you know, Jesus takes our place on the cross. We were the ones that should have been crucified, but Jesus died for Barabbas, you and I. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made it in the city. For murder he was cast into prison. So he was a murderer. I tell you, you say, well, I've never murdered. To break one of the commandments is to break them all. Maybe we murder with our tongues. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spoke again to them. But they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! And he said unto them the third time, Why? What evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And the crowd were insistent. They were insistent. And loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. Pilate lost his nerve. That's sad. He did what the crowd wanted. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder, that's Barabbas, he was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. So Pilate released Barabbas. We were released. He died in our place. I am Barabbas. You are Barabbas. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as they led Jesus away, they laid hold upon one Simon of Cyrene, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Now let me just tell you this. Simon is coming into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast. Mark tells us that he is the father of Alexander and Rufus. That means that in the Roman community that Mark speaks to, Alexander and Rufus became Christians. Why? Because Simon of Cyrene became a Christian as he was carrying the cross for Jesus. He's the black man from Cyrenian. He's the Cyrenian black man. And he does something for Jesus. He carries the cross behind him, and Jesus Christ looks at him, and his heart is pierced. Oh yes, when Jesus looks at us, and our hearts become pierced. I remember one person saying, I saw Jesus, and I said, what did he do? He looked at me. My gosh, that's all he needed to do. He looked at me, and I melted. I melted when he looked at me. So Simon of Cyrene becomes a Christian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women who also lamented him and bewailed him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. And behold, the days are coming in that which they will say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the breasts that never gave suck. Then they shall begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills cover us. I tell you, it's all about abortion. Blessed are the barren, whose wombs that never gave bear, and whose breasts never gave suck. It's all about abortion, yes. It's about abortion. We are the generation that kills our children. We are the generation that really molests women by abortion. Yes, we are that generation that says, fall on us. Yes, we are that generation. You must know that. Millions and millions of children have been killed at the expense of a law from the Supreme Court. It is an unjust law, to tell you the truth, that they have no right to say we can kill our children. They have no right to say that, yet they said that, so it becomes the law of the land. And they shall say, blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breast that never gave suck. Then they shall begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. And if they do these things in the green tree, what will be done in the dry? Well, we're living in the dry, I'm telling you. I'm living in the dry. Today is Wednesday. Our friends are at the abortion mill. Our friends are praying outside that a woman will change her mind. It's all about the woman that we care for. And this is so important. They are there. They are there on this hot day. I tell you, in Boston, it's going to be in the 90s today. And there they are. They are there in the winter also, when it's freezing cold and snowing. They are there on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. These are our friends, people who have heard the broadcast, and people who have been touched by God to go out either on Tuesday or on Wednesday, or both days. And there were also two others, malefactors, led with Jesus to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Jesus and the malefactors, one on the right and one on the left. So there are two thieves that are crucified with Jesus. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm telling you, he had to say that because he was absorbing the sins of the world. He was absorbing your sins and my sins, and it was so heavy. He had to say, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Not only was he talking to the people who put him on the cross, but he was talking to me and you who put him on the cross by our sins. And they parted his clothes and cast lots for them. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided Jesus, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he be the Messiah, the chosen one of God. I'm telling you, Jesus is busy drawing all men unto himself. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Jesus is busy. And the soldiers also mocked Jesus, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the thieves or malefactors which were charged, which hanged, railed on Jesus, saying, if you are the Messiah, save yourself and save us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Oh, yes. And Jesus said unto him, truly, truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Oh, yes. This man had a need for Jesus Christ, and he realized that Jesus Christ was entering his kingdom. And what happened? He wants to enter the kingdom with Jesus. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you shall be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. What does that mean? That means we have access into the Holy of Holies through the crucified blood of Jesus. And when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this is a righteous man." And all the people came together at the sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts, and returned. And all his acquaintances and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just man. The same had not consented to the counsel and to the deed they did to him. And he was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went into Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher and was hewn in a stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation of the Sabbath. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So Jesus Christ dies. He dies for our sins. He dies for us. Do we know, like the good thief, that we are in need of Jesus? Do we know that we are in need of the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do we know that we are in need of a Savior, that we are in need of God? Do you know that today? This is what it's all about. The cross is all about knowing that we are in need of Jesus. Are you in need of Him? If you are a person breathing, you are in need of Him for salvation. There is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. There is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. But you must humble yourself and come to Him and say, "Lord, I am desperate for You. I need You. Like the good thief, I am desperate for You. I need You. Will You remember me when You come into Your kingdom?" Yes, He's already in the kingdom. Hallelujah. And He saves those who call upon His name, because there is salvation in no other name but in the name of Jesus. Do you understand that today? Do you understand that today, that you are Barabbas? Do you understand that today, that it was for you that He died? Do you understand that today, that it was for you that He gave up His life? Do you understand that today? Are you thirsty for Him? Are you hungry for Him? Are you in need of salvation? Then come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He is the Lord. And He says, "No one who comes to Me will I ever reject, for I have come down from heaven not to do My own will, but the will of Him who sent Me. And it is the will of Him who sent Me that I should lose nothing of what He has given Me, but that I should raise it up on the last day." It is God's will not that you go to hell. It is God's will that you be saved by the blood of Jesus. But you have to humble yourself. You have to humble yourself. You have to come to Him and humble yourself. "I am in absolute need of You, Jesus. I am in absolute need of You, Jesus." Are you in need of Jesus? Well, I'm telling you, God says, "Those who come to Me, I will never reject, because I have come down from heaven not to do My own will, but the will of Him who sent Me." Pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, You were crucified for me. I am Barabbas. You gave Your life for me. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Lord Jesus Christ, I love You. I love You. Save me and I'm saved. Heal me and I'm healed. Hallelujah. I'm reading now about the persecuted Christians. His name is Tom White. "Well, isn't this bad?" Tom White mumbled to himself. He stood in a pitch black coal room. He could feel the wind pouring into the room, from the vent above the door. Exploring the cell, he found a bed with broken springs and a sinking mattress and an old wooden chair nailed to the floor. He lay down, but sleep was impossible. It was just too cold. His sleeveless coveralls were made of cotton, so they weren't very much help. He wondered how long he could stay alive in this room. Tom White, an American Christian, had made many successful drops of gospel literature over Cuba, distributing more than 400,000 pieces of literature. But on May 27, 1979, his small plane crashed, landed on a Cuban highway just as he had finished the night drop. He was immediately arrested by the communists, who questioned him and put him in solitary confinement. Finally, the guards put a hood over his head and took him to a little room for more questioning. "It sure is warm today, isn't it?" the captain taunted, taking off his military jacket to begin the interrogation. "Who do you work for?" the man said. "I work for Jesus." "Oh, is that right? And how much money did this Jesus pay you for making these trips?" "I took these trips not for pay. My pay is the love and blessings that God gives me for obeying him." Just get this. The love and the blessings that God gives for obeying him. Oh, yes. Obedience is so important. Most of the captain's questions centered around money, the CIA, and the revolution. These were the only concepts of power that he seemed to understand. After 3 or 4 days of cold and little sleep, White was too tired to even follow his train of thought. He sat in front of his interrogator, his head drooping, his thoughts wandering. "How can I fight this? This could go on forever," White asked himself. Suddenly he had the answer. He explains, "The Holy Spirit gave me a measure of pity and compassion for the man who was more in prison than I. I stopped responding to his questions and stared directly into his eyes. Oh God, help Captain Santos," I prayed. "Break through, Jesus. He is the one in the cold. He has never felt the warmth of your love." I continued to pray in front of him like this for hours. His question came less frequently until he finally stopped. "What are you doing?" he demanded. "I am praying for you," Tom said. The captain's mouth dropped open. He ran one hand back through his hair, then rummaged for a cigarette. This was the first time White had seen him smoke. The prisoner continued to sit rigidly, and he was required, looking at Santos and praying. The captain looked nervously around the room, then stared, drumming his fingers on the desk. In the next session, White was surprised to see him wearing sunglasses. Evidently, he didn't want White to see his eyes. "That's all right, but God doesn't need eye contact. He deals with the heart." White thought and continued praying. Santos sent for the Major Alvarez, the major that was his last resort. Alvarez stormed the room, red-faced and angry as usual. "So one thinks this is a game," he screamed, pounding on the desks for emphasis. "Now we are going to send you to the third foot of the cat." White remembered, "I was thrown into another room following the wall in blackness. I discovered there was no bed, no chair. The blower vent over the door was fully open. The air was pouring out at such a terrific rate, and my hair was blown straight out of my head. I tried to walk in the pitch blackness to keep warm, holding my hands out to keep from bumping into the wall, but the wall was too cold to touch. Besides, rather than warming me, walking only brought me close to the vent, and I huddled in the corner of the room. Oh my God, help me," I cried in despair. He would only not be in the way I wanted. I stuffed my overall legs into my socks to keep the air from coming on my parts, then pulled my arms inside the sleeveless tops. I don't know why I remembered to sing, but God's hand was guiding me and teaching me. As the levels of punishment grew more severe, so did the intensity of spiritual warfare. The enemy, Satan, tried harder to drag me down, but God gently raised me up. Psalm 3:3 says, He is the glory and the lifter of my head. He is the glory and the lifter of my head. So we see that this man suffered. He was released. That this man suffered for the sake of Jesus. Today Jesus says, I suffered for your sake, so that you would come into the kingdom. You don't have to suffer for me today. I suffered for you on the cross. I bled for you on the cross. You are Barabbas. You are Barabbas. You are Barabbas. The only thing you need to do is, here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.